Scripture reading this morning is from the 16th chapter of Matthew, verses 24 to 26. Now I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life?" This ends the reading of the scripture from the Gospel of Matthew, the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. As we sort of begin this transition phase in our culture, it always seems like with the start of school and autumn just a few weeks away and that sort of thing, it's sort of the turning of a page in the year. And so to me, it's a good time to do a sort of a soul checkup. It's always a good time to do a soul checkup every Sunday and maybe every day. But for all of us, I think, the life of this community, the church, and for us individually, I want to get us in touch here with our souls before we move forward. And I hope this isn't, maybe for a lot of us, it's not even just during this year, but maybe turning a page in our lives, a season of life or our whole lives or something. Maybe a light bulb will go on this morning, I pray. Something will happen for us. So let me just preface all this by saying, if you don't stick with me, I'm going to lose you like a bar of soap in the shower, all right? So if you need to take notes or something, if you're like me, until you write it down, it doesn't exist. So there are some scratch sheets in the pew back racks, I think, and then or your bulletin or whatever. But I want to encourage you to jot down a few things or whatever you need to do to take this with you. And in keeping with the beginning of school, there will be homework. So I'm not going to grade you. God is going to grade you on this. So I'm only kind of kidding. What I want to do is I want us to look at our soul. And what was interesting about this scripture that we just had, the scripture reading, is in the New Revised Standard Version, that's the version that's in your pew Bibles there, the red ones. And a lot of us use those. I tend to use New Revised Standard Version in my daily study, although right now I'm using the Message just to kind of get a fresh perspective on things. But every time that translation said life, the word is psuche, which is really soul. It's the same word for soul. And so like the NIV family of translations kind of mix those up. A couple of them, they say life. You lose your life, gain your life, you know, give up your life for me, you'll find it, that sort of thing. And then they switch to soul, even though it's the same word. They say, famously, what good will it do to gain the whole world and lose your soul? And that's the way a lot of us have heard that. But this one says to gain the whole world and forfeit your life. There's nothing wrong with the New Revised Standard Version translating it life, because that's the point. Your soul is your life. But our culture and sort of the evolution of Western society here, kind of since the Enlightenment especially, but maybe even before that, we won't get into all of that, but we identify the word life with our bodily life. And while the body is very important, it is not all important. Yet in our culture today, we kind of look at the life of the body as all of life, which leads to all kinds of confusion and panic when it comes to our physical health and especially our physical death. And so while, of course, physical health and staving off death and that sort of thing is a good thing, there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to have the perspective of God on this. We need to have Scripture's perspective, especially we people of faith. We need to have the perspective of faith. And so I think it's good to look at the Master, Jesus, in this teaching here on the soul, and start by defining the term. And so your soul is, as the translation said, your life. Your real life. But a couple of things about that real life. It flows from God. All right? So, and this right here may be worth the price of admission. So let me just say this for those of you who need to hear this, because I'm sure there is somebody, and probably more than one, who need to hear this. You are here on purpose. You are alive on purpose. Regardless of the circumstances surrounding your birth, planned or unplanned or whatever, you're alive because God wants you to be alive. And so because you are alive on purpose, you are alive with purpose. Does that make sense? Can't put it any simpler than that. Because you are alive on purpose, you are alive with purpose. And then just for fun, let's blow our minds and say, if your soul were cut off from God, you would cease to exist. Boom. That may be too heavy for right now, so we won't dwell on that. But your soul flows from your life with God, flows from God. You are connected via your soul to God. Okay? And always will be. So no matter what happens to your body, your life is firmly, securely, stably connected to God. Nothing can separate your real life from the love of God, from the care of God. Okay? So good. That's your soul. Your soul flows from God into the person that you see in the mirror every day. When you no longer see that person in the mirror, our bodies fold up like tents and can't go on anymore. That person is still alive. That person goes to be with the Lord until our bodies are resurrected and that whole deal. Whole other sermon there. But so understand, so your soul is your life. Your life also consists of what the Bible calls, what Jesus calls your heart, which is your will. Why you do what you do, why you choose what you choose, your will, your mind, which is your thoughts, your emotions, and of course your body, which God made and has intentions for, and it honors God. So your soul, when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and your mind and your strength, which also includes your property, your money, that sort of thing, as well as your body. And your soul is the integrating force for your life. Right? When your soul is healthy, it's flowing healthily from God into your being in this world, then your life is integrated, is firing on all cylinders, is working well together. Your heart, your will, your mind, your body, your soul. When your soul feels disconnected from God, you are not attending to your soul, you begin to disintegrate. Begin to disintegrate. More about that in a minute. So the way this plays out is this choice that the Master gives us here. Jesus gives us this choice. And it's a choice that he faced. And we all have to face it. Gain the world and lose your soul, or essentially die to the world and gain your soul. So the choice comes down to the world or your soul. And the way I'm putting it in today's sermon is living out a shadow mission or God's mission. I'm borrowing shadow mission from popular psychology and via Christian writer and pastor John Ortberg. John Ortberg has a short ebook called Overcoming Your Shadow Mission. And it covers individual shadow missions as well as sort of corporate, whether it's corporations or churches or whatever, following shadow mission as well. So I commend that to you if you're interested in that sort of thing. It's just an ebook, I believe. It's available as an electronic book. But you can get that if you want. Overcoming Your Shadow Mission by John Ortberg. And so that's where I'm kind of getting that, some of these thoughts about this. But I think the language is helpful. Because like a shadow, I've got a shadow up here right now, these lights. I have a few shadows working with these different lights shining down on me. But it is like me, right? Your shadow looks kind of like you. And if it moves with me, if I put my arms out, there's my shadow doing the same thing, right? Me and my shadow strolling down the avenue. And so here we are. But that is not me. Or that one, or that one, or that one. These shadows look like me, move like me, but they are not me. And that's sort of the way a shadow mission works. Because I'm assuming most of us are not smuggling drugs across the border, or we're not hitmen or women for the mafia or whatever. Am I just naive, or is that a safe assumption in this room? That most of us are not living out a sort of obvious, overt, shadowy life mission, right? Here's my point. The way a shadow mission works is it's subtle. It most typically, historically, and today is no different, manifests itself or works itself in our lives through one or more of the big three: money, pleasure, or power. Some writers say money, sex, and power, but I think it's more than just sex. It's physical pleasure of one kind or another. So it may not be sex for someone, but it can be something else. And I'll talk about what I mean. Things that seem good, things that seem God-honoring, but get a little skewed. Okay? So for Jesus, it seems very possible, very likely, that Jesus' shadow mission was to be Israel's Messiah and the world's Savior, but without a cross, without the sacrifice of his life. And that mission seemed to follow Jesus like a shadow from the beginning, probably before he came on the scene when he was working this out, but the beginning of his public ministry in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. We see him confronting this temptation to honor God, to show the wonders of God, and to be a leader and a powerful ruler even, but to do it in a very worldly and fallen way. And then on it goes, and we see it in the garden, that temptation: Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Jesus hanging on the cross, people saying, save yourself. The thief saying that, passersby. He could save other people. He could heal other people, but he can't save himself. What kind of Messiah is that? And especially, possibly most famously, in today's passage. Because in this passage today, right before where we began, is Jesus saying, I am the Messiah, and as such, the vocation of the Messiah includes suffering, not long from now, suffering and dying and being raised on the third day. And Peter, oh Peter, come here, Jesus, and let me tell you, you've got this Messiah thing wrong. Let me tell you how to be the Messiah. It does not include suffering and dying. And what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. It's as if Jesus recognizes the same shadowy figure standing behind his closest disciple as has been following him seemingly every step of the way, this shadow. With the shadow mission of being the Messiah, yes, the God-honoring vocation, but doing it without the cross, without the suffering and dying, doing it his own way rather than God's way. And so Jesus says, not only get behind me, Satan, you are not about God's mission. You are about a shadow mission. Or what he says is, you are not mindful of the things of God, but you are concerned with human things, the ways of the world. And so then Jesus opens it up to all of us. I'm not the only one who has a cross waiting for him. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and then come after me. Follow me. And then he goes on. Lose life as you know it for me and you'll find it. Real life. Soul life. Eternal life. But what good does it do to build up this visible life that not long from now, no matter how long it seems to last, it's just a blink of an eye, it's all going to end, and yet lose real life that never ends. Only if we choose it. So he presents us with this choice. The world or your soul. Propped up imitation life or real soul life. And so Jesus presents this to us today. Shadow mission or God's mission for you? To become aware of our shadow mission, we have to see how it works. Like Jesus with the, yes, be the Messiah. Live this life totally for God. The wonders of God, preaching, working miracles, all this stuff, but just alter it a degree. But then by the time you've come some distance, that little alteration leads you way off track. And so for us, the money, the pleasure, the power, same sort of thing. Let me just give you three illustrations of the way it can work with those money, pleasure, and power. Work. Work honors God. You've got work that you do. But then it becomes about money. Either just getting more and more, or there's never quite enough, whatever. It begins to consume us, time, our identity. You can see this in our culture. Usually when we are talking about introducing ourselves to someone or whatever, what do? Like the most important thing we want to know. It's like our identity. And so work, which begins as this God-honoring thing, becomes a shadow mission when it becomes all about money, all about our identity. It consumes us. It becomes everything instead of just a way of fulfilling the God mission. Or abundant life and the pleasures of the body. So whether it's food, or sex, or drink, or medicine, one kind or another, all kinds of things that could be part of a God-honoring life, could be part of a balance between experiencing the pain and the struggle of life or whatever, but there's this goodness, there are these joys, these pleasures or whatever, but then they become all-consuming for many of us in the form of addiction. It begins to define us. And so these God-honoring little things, aspects, part of fulfilling God's mission in our life becomes life itself, everything to us. Pleasure. Instead of forming us, it deforms us. Instead of experiencing the good things of life, we use them to escape the realities of life. And then power. Whether you have a leadership position, in your work, in civic life, in this church, wherever, certainly in your family, in some relationship, you have a life role as a husband or wife, a mother or father, friend, whatever. But they can all be positions of power that can be used to serve others, to, again, in part fulfill God's mission, or they can be used to get approval from others, to fulfill this need to be liked, or to manipulate others, or to dominate others, always with a smile on the face. And so power, money, pleasure, power, all these things that can be aspects of fulfilling God's mission for us, a God-honoring life, end up consuming us, becoming shadow missions, becoming life itself. So that even things like, this is why I said, most of us are not involved in deep, overt, illicit, you know, sins, vocations, actions, whatever, that are like criminal or just obvious. God, but even things like home and family, building a nice home and, you know, developing a nice family, your health, physical health, doing good in society, civic life, environmental good, whatever, trying to make the world a better place. All of these things, if they are ends in and of themselves, if they are our sole mission, they become a shadow mission because they are taking the place of God's real mission. And again, these are all things that can be used as part of living out. Each of us has our own unique way of fulfilling the God mission in our lives. But if we are not living from the soul, we begin to disintegrate. And let me give you a few symptoms that you may be experiencing. That disintegration, soul dissatisfaction in the sense of maybe you feel more like a robot, a machine, than really alive. This is not an exhaustive list, and it could just be one of these or a combination. Busyness with unimportant tasks. You just keep yourself busy with unimportant tasks, really. Smugness, pride, that can come from usually from comparing yourself to others. We're trying to make ourselves feel better about ourselves, the life that we're trying to construct really apart from God, even if we might go through the motions. So we kind of take on a pride or a smugness. Inauthentic relationships, superficial relationships, or just inauthenticity. We're not being our real selves. We're putting on a show. And finally, just running on empty. Not just I'm kind of tired and could use a nap, but I've got a soul exhaustion. And if you've been through it or you're going through it, you know what I'm talking about. I've got a soul exhaustion. I don't really have life in my soul. I'm running on fumes. So that's the shadow mission. Real quickly, I just want to get us hip to the God mission. Can't leave you just with the shadow mission. Because the point is to identify the shadow mission and kill it. Cut it off. And replace it with the God mission. And understand me on this. God's mission, and again, fulfilled in very unique ways for each of us, some common ways, but also unique ways. We each were made on purpose, so we were made with purpose. We're here on purpose, so we're here with purpose. God's mission is grounded in God's goodness and in the reality of God's kingdom. Heaven breaking through in your life into the world. So God's mission is grounded in God's goodness and the reality of God's heaven, God's kingdom, coming into the world, overtaking the world. And it is about, and if you've heard nothing else, hear this. It is about your character, not your giftedness. And your giftedness may come from God, and you should use whatever gifts you have to honor God and develop them to the greatest potential. But it is about your character. And like Larry was saying in the offering moment, commitments, character. Character counts. This is your spiritual life, your moral life. So God's mission is about your character and about your becoming, not your achievements. And I really encourage you, huddle up, lean in close for that. Let me stress that. God's mission is about who you become, not your achievements. Does God care about your achievements? Sure. Your accomplishments, what you build, or the legacy that you live, or whatever. Sure, I'm not saying that's unimportant. But in the end, what you show for your life is only really the person you have become along the way. That's what you give back to God. And interestingly, that's the way the Master Jesus ends this brief but deep and vital teaching on the soul. And that is, he says this wild thing about how the Son of Man, the Messiah, is going to come back and with the angels, and he's going to look at you. And we can't point to, look at that building with my name on it. I built that. I gave money to that. Look at this artwork I've created. Look at the reputation I've left behind. Look at all the money I left for my kids. The museums and libraries of it. Whatever. Does all of that matter? Sure. Can all that honor God? Sure. Does any of that amount to a life mission? No. It's a shadow mission. God's mission is about the person you have become along the way. That's what he wants to see at the end of it all. And let's put it this way, the person you are becoming, because you continue to become. And so a strategy, real quickly, and if you want to jot this down, I'm going to give you 3 steps that you can help identify your shadow mission so that you can replace it or begin to replace it with God's mission. Number 1, solitude and silence. You've got to get alone and get quiet. If your life is such that you can take a day or more and get alone and quiet with God, then good. Do that. Put it on the calendar and make it happen. If you can do a half a day, here's the thing. Do an hour, at least. Take an hour this week. And I don't mean wait around and hope that one pops up. I mean sacrifice something else. Turn down something else and put an hour in your calendar and sit in quiet, alone with God. Number 1, solitude and silence, alone and quiet. Number 2, humble honesty. Humble honesty. Invite the Holy Spirit to expose the shadow mission. And even, this is just as important if possible, and this can't necessarily be done in that hour of solitude and silence or whatever, but be humbly honest with a close friend, advisor, counselor, therapist. It may be one conversation, honest conversation, or a series of conversations that you need to have. But part of that humble honesty, if you can, is to humble yourself before someone else and kind of explain what it is you're about. But what you're looking for, something that can help, is looking back at your life. Look at those moments where you've gotten off track. Look at those moments where you've had maybe those God-honoring things, but somehow they took over. Somehow, maybe just by a degree, they got you off track. But then over time, you realized. I didn't realize it at the time, but over time, now I am off track. So solitude and silence, humble honesty. And then number three, or 3/4, however you want to look at it, is uproot your shadow mission and plant your God mission. Stop living for the shadow mission and start living for God's mission. And when we say God's mission, we're not necessarily saying there's this job that you're supposed to accomplish and you should have been this career and you should have married this person and it's all off track and you've gotten off the plans and so there's no hope anymore. I just am convinced that's not the way God works. God is much more creative than that. And so somebody has said, following the will of God is not like following a road map. It's like sitting down with God with a big piece of butcher paper and just coloring together. So it's not you got off track and so there's only one way and you've got to get back on track. It's more, let's create this life together. Me and God. It will hurt. It will take adjustments. For some of us, big adjustments. For some of us, minor tweaks. It will not happen instantly. So be ready for a significant leg of your journey to be spent on this. Because again, it's like pulling up a weed by the roots and then planting something new. It takes time to nurture for that new thing to grow up, and the weeds keep coming back. You're going to find yourself tempted to slide back in to those shadows. You're going to see that shadow behind you again. But brothers and sisters, what good does it do to gain the whole world and lose your real life? If you begin to live from your soul, the life flowing from God into you, you will find a freedom, a power, a joy, a peace, unlike anything you've ever known before. You will find life. Let's pray. Loving Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room here today. They are your children. You see each of us. You know each of us. You have brought us to life on purpose and with purpose. Help us to see in wisdom, humility, honesty. Give us the time, the space, the insight to see the shadow mission that very possibly has been with us for a long time, very possibly has caused us to make significant decisions in our lives that may or may not have been wrong, that may or may not have really led us off track. But wherever we are today, God, find us and help us to let ourselves be found. And then show us, bring us out of the shadows into the light of your mission, grounded in your goodness, the reality of your kingdom, shaping our character and forming the person we become. May it be a new day for us, in your name and for your glory. Amen.